Well, hello again there, folks. I'm going to do something a little bit different today because I haven't done any audio for a long time. And I wanted to have a look at the situation that's going on with the grooming gang inquiry. And really with an eye on like the Kafkaesque sort of nature of this, of what the victims are have been left in this kind of bureaucratic limbo, which is probably being done on purpose. I mean, I've been covering for the grooming gangs issue since I began doing content like a long time ago on the first blog. I used to blog about it. And I've got a bit more polished and managed to sort of push my anger down a little bit over the years. I've done videos on it. I did an article that was quite popular more recently called "Our Multicultural Reactor 5" because, as I say in that article and that essay, and I've said a few times on videos and things, I think the grooming gangs issue is the kind of the central fault line that happens. A lot of people don't like it. I get that a lot of people like to be more, they want to get more philosophical and more academic and intellectual about a lot of these things. But for me, the grooming gangs issue, it isn't just about the horror and the gore, but what it reveals about the British state. And I think that's why it's this kind of, it's this sort of disease that it's got. And I expanded on that in my article, "Our Multicultural Reactor 5." And so where we are now is that they've launched this, the Labour Party, the government have launched this inquiry after being under severe pressure. If we go back to the beginning of the year, Elon Musk came out and made a huge thing on the grooming gangs, and the political pressure on the British government was massive. And they promised to do something about it, I think. And then eventually, I think it was in July, they were announced that there was going to be a new inquiry. Now, I have to say, I actually had the quite unpopular view that this was pointless. And the reason for that is because we've had them before. And our view that where everything, what's going to happen is that everything gets in the long weeds. We know what went wrong here. What went wrong was that massive amounts of foreigners were allowed into the country and given privileged status over the white working class. That's how it is. That's how it goes. The problem is the British state, the entire power structure is set up in such a way that they just can't seem to undo that. And so this is what I mean when it exposes. It's like ripping a scab off the system, because you're looking at its kind of brutality and its cruelty and its nastiness. Again, I'm not going to get into sort of just how gruesome some of the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of the cases. Some of the things that you read is quite traumatic and horrific. It's just the way that the power structure works and the way that it is. And so after a massive amount of pressure, they came out, they said, "We're going to have a new inquiry." And I said, "But we already know what the problem is. What we want is policies to fix it." And I got a bit of pushback. I didn't write at length about it. I think I just sort of argued about it on Twitter a little bit. And people were pushing back and saying, "Well, we need the inquiry to assess where we're going to go." And I was thinking, it's just going to be more years of limbo and years of doing nothing. Whereas if you just demand the policies, you may actually get something, probably not. But you're not going to get excited about what turns into just a kind of, well, what we're going to talk about here, which is to give the establishment another chance and another way to wriggle out of it, kick it into the long grass. And in the end, as it falls apart, you can see that we're 6 months to a year nearly where this issue flared up again. And what's actually been happening in the last few weeks is that some of the victims who were involved in it have decided to just drop out. And this is the issue. And the person in charge of this is Jess Phillips, who from an MP from Birmingham, I think she is. She's a thoroughly awful person, to be honest. And she's got the ridiculous title of like safeguarding women and girls or something like that. That's her role in government. So this has obviously fallen on her lap and she's fluffed it. Or the allegations against her fluffing it are that's where it goes. So just sort of to get into it, I've got an article by the New Statesman here from the 23rd of October. Why do grooming gang survivors want Jess Phillips to resign? What Shabana Mahmood? I mean, here you get into the kind of the craziness of it. So this is the Home Secretary. What she's going to decide to do about the safeguarding minister should define her tenure as Home Secretary. And it says the four grooming gang survivors who quit the government's inquiry victim liaison panel this week are calling on the safeguarding minister, Jess Phillips, to resign. It's typical that she's not actually offering much in the way of safety. Her conduct over the last week has shown she is unfit to oversee a process that requires survivors to trust the government. Her departure would signal you are serious about accountability and change in direction. The letter came following days of chaos for the inquiry, with four survivors quitting, citing yet another cover-up, and the two main figures in the running to the chair, the social worker Annie Hudson and the former police officer Jim Gamble, pulling out. The main issue the survivors have with Phillips is that she appeared to contradict their claims when they resigned from the panel. They had expressed concerns about the inquiry's remit being broadened out to general child sex abuse beyond that perpetrated by the chiefly Pakistani heritage community grooming gangs. Ellie Ann Reynolds, one of the survivors who quit the panel, told me, "We are being pushed to accept a remit that downplayed the racial and religious motivations behind our abuse." All right, so this is where we come to it. This is where you get into the shell game. This is where you get into and they've done this before. There was an article came out, I think it was in 2019. And it was about how it was like all these statistics from an inquiry that we'd had, so that there was another inquiry into grooming gangs, and the lo and behold, the Guardian ran with this kind of really triumphant headline that the most of the perpetrators in the country were white men and not actually Pakistanis. It isn't just Pakistanis. You'll see that they do this from North Africans who are here, even some of the Africans, but it is mainly the Pakistanis though. And so what they did was change the definition of what constitutes a grooming gang. And here's where you begin to see this is what I mean by the kind of Kafkaesque nature, the kind of dystopian. There was a thing that I heard once. Well, I think it might have actually been Hitler, a quote of Hitler or something, when he was describing arguing with some people as like nailing jelly to a wall. All you want is a concrete definition. All you want is these grotesque crimes to stop. And again and again and again, you have this squid ink squirted in your face where you're left confused and bamboozled. And so the issue with the inquiry that came out in 2019, I think it was that they had actually changed the definition of grooming gang to include these crimes where a girl was abused by her uncle or maybe a priest, or it could have genuinely been that there was a gang of white paedophiles. Nobody says that isn't happening, it is. But the issue with the grooming gangs is specifically in the minds of the people, that is specifically the mainly Pakistani, mainly Muslim demographics as an organized network predating and abusing working class white girls. That's the what we meant. And originally, the term grooming gang was itself, a lot of people don't like that because they think it sounds soft and what it is, and that's right, it is. And originally, people were calling it like Pakistani rape gangs or this kind of thing. But we didn't really have the correct terminology to describe what it was because it was foreign imported. Nobody knew what was going on with it. And there were riots in the early 2000s in Burnley and stuff, which was related to this, which a lot of people don't get. Now, what happened was they created this politically correct term to describe it, grooming gangs. And over time, people figured out what was meant by that. So the politically correct term of grooming gang just came to be seen as a Pakistani rape gangs. That's so the sort of the what it signified became the same thing. What it signified became politically incorrect once again because everybody figured that out. And so then they changed the definition again for this report in 2019 to include white men. When it would have been, and what the libtards would do would be to push back on that. And they would say, well, you don't actually care about the abuse of these girls or women. You pretend you do, but really you're just racist. And I see, I've been sifting through what's been happening here with this latest inquiry. And I think that's one of the players that's being kind of done here. Again, like the main issue the survivors have with Phillips is that she appeared to contradict their claims when they resigned from the panel. She had expressed concerns about the inquiry's remit being broadened out to general child sexual abuse beyond that perpetrated by chiefly Pakistani heritage grooming gangs. So the two of the victims here have actually re released statements which look like they've been passed through the lawyers from there, and they're directed to the Home Office, and one of them is to the Jess Phillips. So this is regarding the inquiry into group-based child sexual abuse. We are writing to you in our capacity as a law firm representing the interests of five survivors of grooming gang abuse, who are either currently a part of the consultative process, who have resigned. I'll just skip through that. We are compelled to raise serious concerns regarding the consultative process of the current inquiry, which has caused significant distress. The primary concerns are as follows. The CSE inquiry has become political. Members of all political parties should be working together for the benefit of survivors. We are disappointed to see how this issue has been handled and will encourage collaboration moving forward. The composition of the panel includes survivors of various forms of child sexual exploitation and child sexual abuse, whereas it was explicitly recommended by Louise Casey that the panel should focus on solely grooming gang survivors. This deviation has diluted the focus and purpose of the inquiry. Now, it's funny how that's happened again, because in the Louise Casey report, which was at the beginning of the year, which actually I think set this new kind of set this aflame again. In her report, she went back to the 2019 inquiry where white men came out on top for the reasons that they'd expanded the definition. And so what you see is the pattern emerging here where each time they do this, they change the definition of what the grooming gangs actually are so that it, as it says, yeah, they broaden its scope. And by broadening its scope, they bring in other aspects of child, which I'm sure is absolutely terrible. I'm sure that's a horrible thing. But what you'll notice is that the idea that specifically that there are mainly, but not entirely, Pakistani networks sexually enslaving and torturing working class white girls, that is what kind of gets crowded out. And that is what people want to see addressed. And that is what the government does not want to have addressed. So originally, this new inquiry was supposed to be specifically about that. The Louise Casey Act report, she went back and she said the 2019 report was rubbish because it broadened the scope. So you see that you've got this sort of Schrodinger's grooming gang here, that on the day-to-day news cycle and churn, you have, it's just a constant sort of, we've all seen those mugshots in the newspapers, you know, we've all seen that, who does this, who does the grooming gangs, and more and more now, if there's a white paedophile network, you'll see them referred to as grooming gangs. Whereas in the past, they would have just been called paedophiles. And usually when they went to prison, they'd be murdered as well. And so there's this constant pressure and interest to muddy the waters. So you never actually get it. And the reason why I kind of oppose the inquiry, which people didn't like, is precisely because of this. Because I've been on this rodeo ride over and over again. What needs to be laid at the door of the establishment is the idea that we want policies. We want this to end. Because every time they go into this, every time they do these inquiries, you get this. You get this obfuscation. You get this squidding squirted in your face. And what this also does is create a very awkward situation because of the way they've handled it. And I think it's really grotesque. And it, again, I, like I've said before, this issue of the grooming gangs is a depressing one, but you really get to see how vindictive and sick the British state is. Because the people that have been sort of allowed onto the panel, remember Jess Phillips, is the women, the young women who are now on the panel. Remember, Jess Phillips is the safeguarding of women and girls. So it looks like, I don't know what the latest on this is, but it looks like she knew these people and she put them on the panel. And so she would have known that they were not actually the victims of the Pakistani grooming gangs, but other forms of child sexual abuse. Now, what this does is kind of put the ball on the tee for the libtards to say, see, you don't care. You don't care when it's not Pakistani men doing it. When in actual fact, it's a government that doesn't care when they do it. And that's the whole problem. That's why there's been a cover-up for years on this. So this letter goes on. This deviation has diluted the focus and purpose of the inquiry, including all forms of child sexual abuse. And this query risks overshadowing the unique and horrific nature of organised grooming gang crimes. This would be a grave disservice to the hundreds of survivors and contrary to Louise Casey's recommendations, where it was, again, we need to focus exclusively, and to be fair to Louise Casey, she signalled this, we need to be focused exclusively on the activities of this one community, as they would see it, so we can isolate it and see what the problem is. And this is exactly what they don't want us looking at. And they'll broaden the scope so that we can't look at it, and we can't get the statistics, and we can't actually get to the truth of it. And it's worth dwelling on why they're so desperate about this. Now, some people have said that Jess Phillips, which is true, is an MP for heavily Muslim area, and she's clinging on apparently by just a few hundred votes. So if she angers the, here you begin to see how awkward this is. If she angers the Islamic community, she's going to be out. She's probably going to lose anyway because they're forming their own sort of political blocks. So she hasn't, she whatever. So the best kind of outcome here is that Jess Phillips is doing that, is kind of sabotaging this. I forgot to mention that it is worth mentioning here that it's terrible the way it appears as if these victims of other kinds of sexual abuse are being used as pawns on the board to do this. Because you've now got two different groups. One group is saying, who appear to be friendly with Jess Phillips, one group are saying they're fine with her heading this up. And the other group are saying, well, it's no longer really about our trauma, what we went through. It's being broadened out. So And what makes it so awkward is that it's hard to, you have to say, well, okay, it's terrible what's happened to you, but you shouldn't be on a panel. You shouldn't be on this panel. If you want to have a different inquiry into other forms and other kinds of sort of sexual abuse, then fine, let's have another inquiry and you can go on to that one. But this one, again, is specifically about that. And the idea that Jez Phillips is scared, I take that as a factor. But what's really being revealed, why they will just move heaven and earth not to address this issue, is it runs completely against the perceived wisdom of multiculturalism and the Labour Party and the Conservative Party, the British deep state in general. Because under the idea of multiculturalism is that there are no groups acting in their own interest, which is just ridiculous. And what you find is that these groups are actually organized against a vulnerable sort of section of another group. And brings the entire idea of living peacefully into disrepute. It makes a complete mockery of it. And the police, so if you sort of brought all of this out to the light, if they had to move to the policy stage where they bring up policies on how to prevent this, how to make sure it never happens again, ever, the only logical conclusion you can get is that you have to have separation. The you have to make a society where these basically the access to white girls is denied. They're not allowed to get anywhere near them. And of course, this is the end of multiculturalism. That is the end of it. That would be, even in the more, I mean, Rupert Lowe, for example, has said the whole community should just be deported, which I agree with. Because at the end of the day, they are just going to go home. But to and people will, you know, the sort of the system will be outraged by that. But what is the lesser evil here? Do we just continue to let this happen? But beyond all of that, what you can see is the way that it just rots the system. You know, this is why I did the sort of the comparison to Chernobyl and Reactor 5. This is why I did the article and I said, like, this is it's this kind of lie. I mean, look, as I said in the article, at least you can say Chernobyl wasn't on purpose. But here, like once you've got the disaster happening and the power structure has to react to it and how it reacts to it, even though it goes against its core principles, even though it goes against the ideology that kind of greases the wheels of the entire system and it exposes it for the sham that it is. And this is what they're so paranoid about. But there seems to be no lengths of dishonesty and lies and treachery that they won't go to. And what they've done here, it says the third point here, we are very concerned that Jess Phillips has dismissed allegations that the Home Office has considered widening the scope of the inquiry as untrue when survivors on the consultative process received written communication asking their opinion on this specific issue. This has led to one survivor, Fiona Goddard, receiving abuse online. There is a perceived conflict of interest due to the pre-existing political affiliations among some panel members, notably Jess Phillips and other CSE survivors known to each other through Labour politics. So here we peel back the skin of the onion a little bit more. Again, this is the lawyer's letter which is being sent to the Home Office. So what you find is that the women who are then, and I don't doubt that they are actual victims, but what we see is that they are actually involved with Labour Party politics. And it's looking very much like they were placed on the panel so that we could not get to the truth of it. You know, it was a kind of deliberate weak link, a deliberate sabotage. This is not to say that you would never get any kind of sort of information that the inquiry wouldn't go ahead. I don't think this was supposed to have happened. I think what was supposed to have happened was that we got all kinds of data about all forms of sex abuse. And the thing that we're supposed to be getting at, we wouldn't. Since the inquiry gained media attention following the resignation of some survivor members, the support provided to survivors has been minimal. There has been no direct communication, not even a phone call to offer reassurance or guidance. Survivors have had to learn about developments in the inquiry through the media or televised debates in the House of Commons with no prior warning or official updates, which is both disrespectful and damaging. Those who have resigned or are considering resignation should not be excluded from the inquiry. Their insights are invaluable, especially those of grooming gang survivors for whom this inquiry was originally intended. So here we see, after a phenomenal amount of political pressure to get to the truth of this issue, which again, I don't want to say this, I called it, but I kind of did. And I'm like, you have to just skip this and demand solutions. Political, you need policy solutions on the table. Because the idea of these inquiries is to dig up all kinds of data. And in that process, it gets lost. In that process, the true venality and grotesque nature of the British power structure is revealed, but we're still left gawping at it in horror at just how sick this is. Remember, even at the beginning of the year, there's something strange about it, because at the beginning of the year, when everybody was talking about this, when Elon Musk was raising all hell about it, and Rupert Lowe was going on about it, Rupert Lowe wanted mass deportations. And it was as if the system had been caught in this crisis moment, and then eventually they've caved. You get the inquiry, and you can already see the reason why all of this happened in the first place. Remember, one of the things that the girls would happen to the girls was that all of the institutions, the child protection services, the police, the councils, everything let them down, because they all had this mindset. They all had this outlook that this is uncomfortable. We don't want to do this. We need to find ways to squirt the squid ink and get from under the actual real implications of this. And here's the thing, the fact that they feel the need to do that tells you that they're not, in this case, incompetent. This, I can only say that this is just malice. Because they are not. Why not just have the inquiry into Pakistani grooming gangs and the networks and the relationship to white working class girls? If they were just incompetent, they would just do that. But what we're seeing here is a deliberate attempts to sabotage the inquiry. Having read this letter, I mean, it's an ongoing story, but I have a feeling it's all just going to collapse, and then there's going to be another one announced 6 months' time, and then it'll just drift away into nothing. And in the meantime, it'll be like 2 years since all that pressure was piled on them, and with no policy recommendations to stop it. Nothing. It's thoroughly depressing. And again, you can see here, you know, when it's like this kind of vile beast, and every now and then you really get a look in its eyes. And this is one of those moments for me. It's just so depressing. It's just so sick. How all you want is justice for people who've been wronged, for people who've been treated like trash. And you get this kind of Kafkaesque, weird, where words don't mean what you think they mean. Words and terms change definitions depending on how the system wants them to. Even the woman who's overlooking all of this is called like the safeguarding of women minister, or whatever that title is. And you can see that she's actually doing nothing of the sort, because there's a client group involved that she's not comfortable with putting under the magnifying glass, if you like. How much is it just going to go on like this forever? Let's not forget, this is still going on today as well. These gangs, this is still happening today. Hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully, one day we'll get something a bit better than this. But in the meantime, you've just got to watch these absolute vermin lie and pull shit like this. In the last time that they did it, in the other reports that I've seen coming out, it was kind of a shock. I remember the one where it came out the about the numbers, and The Guardian had the headline ready to roll. So it was like the report was published at about like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was the one where they said white men do the most, or are involved with grooming gangs the most. And that got published, say, at like 3 o'clock, and then like Guardian had a full spread at it, which went live at about 3:30. And I always thought that was strange. And it was as if they were given the tip. And it was one of those things that we're going to push this really hard. And ever since, if you bring this up, you'll have that headline thrown in your face. And what we've learned since is that, of course, it's just about the way they describe these things and the way they're showing us grooming gang, where they change the definition. So, yeah. Thanks for listening, folks. I'll catch you later.